Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, as you can see, all of our friends and neighbors are here tonight. I'm going to do the same thing that Pastor George did a moment ago. How many people are here from outside the city of Fort Worth, Texas? May I see you? Is anybody from Fort Worth even here? Amen. Glory to God. And of course, you're here. Praise the Lord. And this is for the television broadcast. And we conduct it just like we do in the studio, with the exception that we don't take a break every 22 minutes and do something else. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for this broadcast, and we give you praise and honor for it. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. Mm-hmm. Revelation of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Revelation from your word and through your word and by your word. And we thank you for it, to build our faith and to build our prayer lives and to become strong, growing up from baby spiritually, right on up through and becoming spiritual adults. And we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles today to the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. We're going to be talking about, all this week, we're going to be talking about the fundamentals of faith. You could call it the ABCs of faith. Well, Brother Copeland, it seemed like you do that a lot. Yeah, I know. Amen. And you see, I just work here, and it hadn't been but just a few years back the Lord got on me. Boy, I mean, he really got in the middle of me over this. He said, "You're teaching and preaching faith from where you are now." And he said, "The people that are just coming in, they ain't got a clue what you're talking about." He said, go back to the fundamentals. And especially now that the BVOVN network is alive and well. Because now you can see that there are people coming in every day that have never heard a thing in the world about what we've been talking about for 51 years. So we go back then to the fundamentals. Now, I learned this from my grandson, Jeremy. And I've learned a lot from that young man. And he said, what are you watching when you watch the Super Bowl? What are you watching when you watch the World Series? What are you watching when you're watching the U.S. Open? Wimbledon, World Cup, masters of the fundamentals. Masters of the fundamentals. Let me ask you this. What are you watching when you're watching the Little League World Series? Masters of the fundamentals for that age. The game is the game. Got the same rules. Amen. Not some strange, unheard of play. No, just the same fundamentals. And how do you get there? Practice, 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 study, practice, study, practice, practice, practice. And practice, 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 practice. So, If you're an Olympic champion, or just beginning to reach for that, You have to spend time at what you're doing. And to grow spiritually, you have to feed on spiritual food. There's natural food, there's mental food, and there's spiritual food. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 11, please. And let's begin reading in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, the very first basic fundamental of faith. Number one, if you're making an outline or keeping note, you believe it, you say it. That's number one. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Now, believe what? Well, I'll tell you what. I believe Brother Copeland's going to give me his airplane. Well, I don't believe he is. No, see, that's the kind of thing where people just, you know, get really bent out of shape. No, you believe the Word.
Yes, sir.
You believe the Word.
Amen.
Now, you notice what Jesus said now in Mark 11:23. What did he say to believe? He said, believe those words, those things. Yeah. What things? Words. Believe that those words which he says will come to pass. That's what Jesus said to believe. All right, let's take a look now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I really do like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13. And we, having the same spirit of faith. Now notice, according as it is written, as it is written, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Think about it a minute. This is so basic. You always say what you believe. Whether you're doing it on purpose, we're talking about doing it on purpose, but human beings are spirit beings. You don't have a spirit, you are a spirit. Huh? You have a soul inside your spirit. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, the intellectual part of you. And you and your soul live in a flesh, blood, and bone body. That's your tabernacle in this earth. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Romans 10:10. Well, let's read down into this. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. See, words are everything. Words are the most important things on this earth, in this universe. All right, listen to me now. We live in a word created, word upheld. He is up, you remember Hebrews chapter 1? He is upholding all things by the word of his power. It is a word created, word upheld, word dominated universe. You and I can't help that. We can't change that. We live under the force and power of words. You remember what the 18th chapter of Proverbs says? The power of death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, you and I cannot change the fact that we live under the force and the spiritual law of words. But we can change the words and choose the words under which we live. Hallelujah. Now that makes the Word of God the most precious thing in this entire universe. Hallelujah. In more ways than one. This word, yes. But Jesus. The Word Himself. Most Christian people don't know what you and I know. Jesus did not cease being a man. A divine human being. No, he's still a man. He still has flesh. No blood. He said, handle me. You remember that? Remember that 20th chapter of John? He said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. All of his blood, not just a few drops of it. All right, listen to me. All of his blood is in the Holy of Holies tonight, crying out for you and for me.
Yes.
If that don't set you on fire, your wood's wet, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, think about it. Nobody but Jesus. How precious he is. Oh, you need to fall in love with him all over again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I wanted you to see this. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep or into hell? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The Apostle Paul was a faith preacher. Amen. Well, why preach so much faith? Well, you can't please God without it. Why is that? Why can't you please God without faith? It's impossible. Impossible to please God without faith. It's not because He's hard-nosed. It's because He's love. You can't get saved without it. You can't have victory over the world without it. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But the key, the real key to why we can't please God without faith comes from Romans chapter 4. Therefore, it is of faith so that it might be by grace. And grace is everything. Grace is everything. I'll give you in one phrase. I had asked the Lord so many times, over and over again, year after year after year after year, and I'd think, tell me what your grace is. I know it's unmerited faith. I understand that, but it just didn't satisfy my longing. And then it'd come up again, you know, several months later, and I'd say it again. Come on, Jesus, give me something I can work with here. And this went on and on and on and on. Finally, to my shock, He answered me. Why did He wait so long? I don't know. I guess I was just dumb. I reckon I don't know. No, I'm just dense. I should have known this myself. He said, Kenneth, grace is my overwhelming desire to treat you like sin never happened. Now I understood it. Now I could get it. Jesus bore my sins in His body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. That's grace. Well, you go to hell for lying, same as you will for stealing. Ain't nobody ever gone to hell for lying.
That's right.
What? Put your gun up. I'll fix it. Nobody's ever gone to hell for committing sin. You go to hell because you don't know Jesus. Only one man that God ever sent to hell, made sick or poor, and His name is Jesus. Amen. So now study that and work with it. And see, all of those old religious tags and stuff that just, you know, came out of men's ideas, but thank God that God is opening our eyes. Revelation knowledge is coming into, not the book of Revelation, knowledge revealed by the Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful? My. Hallelujah. About this life and about Jesus. We're in the day and the time for insight, ideas, concepts from heaven. The word is opening up more than in any other generation in history. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Romans 10, 10. For with the heart man believeth. See that? With the heart, with the spirit, the inner man, the real you. With the heart, man, that's talking about mankind. Man believeth. Now, thank God, Greg showed that picture of the human heart. That's your blood pump. That's wonderful, isn't it? Glory to God. But you know what? You can't believe with that pump. No more than you can your nose or your liver. Oh, I'm trying to believe here. See, faith is not in the mind. Faith is not in the physical being. Faith is in you. Now then, let's look at it again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say, confession is made unto. You get that concept? All right. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 11 again. And now remember now, we're talking about fundamentals. Mark chapter 11, the fundamentals of faith, the ABCs of faith. And you cannot get any more fundamental than what Jesus taught. He had spoken to that fig tree. Nothing happened to it that day. But as they walked past by there, the next morning, Peter said, look at that fig tree. It's dried up from the roots. Words carrying the spiritual force of faith penetrated that tree and went to the roots. All right. Verily I say unto you, whosoever. The fundamental thing about faith is this: these are spiritual laws. And once you understand what the spiritual law is, you can operate it. For instance, an airplane would have flown in 1776, 1876, as well as it did in 1976. The atmosphere was the same. But nobody knew the laws that governed it. And because people didn't understand the laws of physics, they just depended on their own ideas and what they could conceive. And that just didn't look right at all. You just can't make that happen. So progressively, and as you know, through trial and error, the laws that govern these things began to appear. Well, listen. The religious idea is, oh, yes, you know, the laws of physics are very exact. But in the spirit, if anything will ever happen, you never know what God is going to do. I heard a man, a news commentator on the news some years ago. And he made a comment about something about the will of God, and then he said this. He wasn't just sloughing it off. You could tell it puzzled him. He said, "But who on earth can ever know the will of God?" Well, go buy you a book. It's called Bible, B-I-B-L-E. But most people don't understand really that this is the will of God. Well, I don't know, Brother Copeland. I see that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's take it out of religious idea and let's talk about someone's last will and testament. Huh? This is God's bond. This is His word. Now, how absolutely help me with the word. Ludicrous. Would it be for the Almighty God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ to promise you something in His word that was not His will for you to have? He can't do that. Dean said he wouldn't do that. Well, now, he can't do that. It'd be a lie. And he can't do that. It's impossible for God. Amen. But you have to come to that place where you realize and understand that we're dealing with absolutes. The Word of God is abstract truth. That means it never changes. It is good for all men for all time. This is a basic fundamental of faith. You have to come to that and understand that. Now then, let's go back over here. We're talking about the first fundamental, believe it, believe the word, then say it. And of course, we read that in Mark 11:23. And then yesterday we talked about 2 Corinthians 4:13, that it is written. Well, let's turn over there and look at it. Fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians. 13th verse, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak." Now, the second fundamental, this is basic fundamental faith stuff. I mean, this is just, see, faith is a spiritual force. It's a creative force. We understand that the worlds were created from something that you can't see, which was faith. Amen. It wasn't created from nothing. It was created from an invisible force, or with an invisible force. And the very faith of God, you remember we read that in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Or the cross reference says, have the faith of God. That is correct, because we're born again, not of corruptible seed. Say seed.
Seed.
But by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It was the word of God. That was the you heard the word and you received Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. And when you did that, the most powerful, the far beyond any miracle that could possibly happen in the natural realm, into your physical body. I mean, even if God just gave you a whole new heart, which he does that, a new spine, which he does that, that's nowhere near the power that it took to completely recreate a human spirit being. We don't have any understanding of the magnitude of that. Because we see so much in the natural and in the physical, and it, you know, these things look so terribly impossible, and we get so excited when the possible happens, when the impossible happens. Glory be to God. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How exciting it is. And not realize that when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. You are a totally different species of being. You are a totally different being in the very likeness and image of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. In that seed was the faith of God. Hallelujah.
That's right. Glory to God.
See, it was in the seed. Your healing was in that seed. The mind of Christ was in that seed. Ah! Glory to God. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm kind of jumping the tracks here, but I got to tell you this. Romans, the 12th chapter. For he has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. That's not every man in the world. He's talking about every man among you. He's talking about the church, Rome. Dealt unto every born again human being has the measure of faith imparted. How? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the way it's imparted. Well, every one of us, when we got born again, we all got the same measure.
Right.
Now, what a person does with their measure of faith is up to you. It's up to me what you do with it. Do you do anything with it? Or just let it lie there dormant? Which happens a lot. More really than anything else. You can strengthen it. You can feed it. You can weaken it, but you need to keep it growing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. No such thing as faith that doesn't come. No more than water that won't boil. But you got to have some heat. There are elements that are necessary. Amen. But think about it. You and I have within our being a measure of exactly the same faith that put this universe into existence. It's not any different. It's the same faith.
Amen. Praise God.
And it can grow. You need to know what feeds it. You need to know what strengthens it. You need to know what releases it. And once you have that information, you've arrived at a place. But then you can't just sit there and not do it. Once you know, you got to start feeding. Amen. Basic fundamentals of faith. Now then, the second basic fundamental is act on your faith. Believe it, say it, act. Now, believe, we started out yesterday with it. Believe what? The Word. Say what? The Word. You didn't just make up something. No. I was shocked when I first learned this. I thought, well, whoa. Dumb, you should have seen that before now. And it just was startling to me. Find the answer to the prayer in the Bible. Start with the answer. Pray the answer before. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's coming up later on. But we're going to get into prayer that brings results. But and this is the first basic thing. You're going to have to base your prayer on the Word of God. You can't base it on just make up something and you don't have anything standing on. God's Word is the rock. Hallelujah. The rock foundation upon which to stand and base everything on this Word. Hallelujah. So you believe the Word, you say the Word, and then you act on the Word. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Praise God. I want to remind you of something here. James is the oldest book in the New Testament. James is Jesus' half-brother. Same mama, different father. This is cool, isn't it? So is Jude. Now, you talk about somebody that had a front row seat. They didn't know it until after he was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you could understand. You could really understand. How many of you have several siblings in your family? I was an only child, so I don't know how to think about this. Was one of them just really over and above the rest of you? Did your mama ever say, "How come you can't be like Charlie? I don't want to be like Charlie." Well, how is your brother with Jesus? Ah! Come on! Why can't you be like Jesus? Can't you be like Jesus? He don't never do any wrong. That's right. But he didn't know that. Oh, man. Oh, brother. But notice here now, in the first chapter of James, now this is the second fundamental, basic fundamental of faith. Look at verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only. Listen, deceiving your own self. Be a doer. Act on the Word. Amen. Look at the second chapter, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Now let me, works there is a, it's a little confusing. A correct word would be corresponding action. I believe, I receive based on this word. Now that I believe, I'm healed. I'm going to have to correspond my faith with action, words. I can't believe I'm healed and call everybody and tell them how sick I am. And no, man. I mean, you just negated your faith, just knocked it out. You have to get on that word. You have to meditate it and stay on it and work with it and work with it and work with it. Build it, build it, build it, build it. Fix it firmly in your heart and in your mind. And then just live with it and live with it and live with it and meditate on it and meditate on it until it builds up in there. And you begin to act on it. Amen. When I was with Brother Roberts in the invalid room, in invalid tents and so forth, and this particular one, I was in two of the last tent meetings that the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association conducted. And this one, they had a small tent set aside for people that were ambulatory, that really had a hard, just couldn't manage a lot of people in a big crowd. This little girl, I can just see her. She was about 9 years old. So think about it. What is she now, 60? She was 9 years old. And she was paralyzed, everything but her eyes. And they had a wheelchair, and she was a little African-American girl. And they, you know, they were poor folks, and they didn't have money enough to have anything else. And they had a big plank lashed down to that wheelchair and had her tied to the plank. And she's just stiff like this. Brother Roberts has said, move something. If you can't move, see what he's telling us, telling everybody to do? Act on it. Act on it. Once you have hands laid on you, you do something you can't do.
Amen. Yes.
He said, if you can't do anything else, stand up on the inside. You can't stand up any other way. See yourself standing up on the inside. Well, anyway, we got over there to her and laid hands on her, and she started rolling her eyes. I mean, her eyes were just going. And she said, Mama, Mama, get me off here. I'm healed. Mama, come on, Mama. She's hollering. The Mama said, no, baby, no, no, no. Mama, untie me. I'm telling you now.
Glory.
Well, Mama said, well, okay. And she unbelted her, and boom, she took off across that tent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It started rolling with rolling her eyes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Talking about the fundamentals of faith, we've talked about Mark 11, 22 through 25. We've talked about believe it and say it, believe the word, say the word, Mark 11, 23. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Romans 10:10. And then yesterday, talking about acting on your faith, acting on the word. You take your stand on scriptures, more than one. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Stand on that word and then act. Well, how do I do that, Brother Coleman? Act like the New Testament's true. Act like it's true. You act on the word. I like this. As quickly as you would the word of a lawyer, the word of a doctor, or a very highly trusted friend, somebody you really know, that when they tell you something, you just go do it. My dad was a man of very, very high integrity. I saw him with one word with the company that he was with, the life insurance company that he was with. A man that was quite successful in that company left that company and started his own company. Which is, nothing wrong with that. But his contract with the company my dad was with stated, now, in the life insurance business, something called renewals. If I write a life insurance contract, which I worked for my dad for a number of years in that business, and I write a contract on you, Jim Hilton, and then you pay for it for 20 years. Well, the first year, I get most of that commission that year. But after that, as long as you pay for that contract, I get a commission. Now, it's far less than it was the first, but you build that up over an entire career. Those renewals are bigger than first-time business. It gets huge. And a person in leadership where you've got a lot of agents working for you and you're getting renewals off all their business, it can turn into a lot of money. This man, if this man had offered anybody with my dad's company, which he had been with, starting a new company, if he offered anybody to come with him, he lost all of his renewals, which was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm talking about way back there in the 50s. A lot of money. Well, this was up into the 60s. Still a lot of money. He offered my dad part of that company, stock in that company. Had my dad gone with that company did succeed. It would have made my dad a multimillionaire. They called my dad in the courtroom. They said, "Mr. Copeland, did Mr. So-and-so offer you such and such?" He said, "Yes, he did." Case dismissed. I said, "Daddy, do you know what he got? He got to keep his job."
Yeah.
I said, "You just walked away from $1 million." He said, "So what?" I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "Kenneth, it was a lie." Well, later I got it. That's the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? I'll tell you, that's just how dumb I was back then. Because, I won't go into that. Just leave that laying there where it is. But I trust A.W. Copeland. A.W. Copeland called me and told me something, that I go write a check on it. I've done it more than once. Didn't have to see anything. My dad told me, and I go do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I've met a few other men that I would do that. I don't care what the cost was. If he said it, I'll do it. Oral Roberts was one of them. Well, I'll tell you what, he sweater his own hurt and change not. Kenneth Hagin was one. Boy, one of those men tell you something. Well, what about Jesus? It's impossible for him to lie. But you have to become that close to him. I'm holding a manifestation of him in my arms right now. This is just as much a manifestation of God in the earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you come to that and you get in here and you take time and you study it and you work with it, and you can't just breeze through it, and well, you might as well be studying the maps.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, how many times have you ever studied the begats? Oh, you just, where does that, let's see, let's go over here to, okay, that's the end. Don't do that. How are you going to get anything out of the begats? I used to think that. But I kept seeing this harlot. There's a whore in there. What? Yeah. Right there in the begets, the lineage of Jesus. And they make a very specific point of calling her Rahab the harlot. It's important that you know she was a harlot. And she became Jesus' great-great-grandmother. That's in the begets. Wow. Amen. She's in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the wall, the hall of fame of faith. And she is very specifically called Rahab the harlot, wanting you to know if there's hope for her, there's hope for you. Glory to God. Yes, amen. Lord, where in the world was I? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So, corresponding action. Action. Act on it. Act on the word. Now then, let's go to Mark chapter 5. We want to take a look at the woman that was healed from the issue of blood. We need to pay very careful attention to her. Mark 5, 25 through 34. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, or the Greek word is dunamis, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague." Now, what do we know about her? If you're making an outline under number three, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," this would be number A. She heard. She heard. She said, she came and touched. She heard, and so she believed it. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." Huh? This is the faith model, right? She heard, she said, she came and touched. Now, what did she hear? Well, it said she heard of Jesus, but we know she heard the word, because Romans 10:17 said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we know she heard the word. Had to have. Now, one of the fundamentals of faith that we want to get to, the next one, the fourth one, is faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. So we know she held nothing against those physicians. Boy, that would have been easy to do, wouldn't it? Look at these guys. They've ruined me. But now I want to present this to you. Now, think about this. She heard, she believed it in her heart. Boy, it was real to her. But she had to have corresponding action.
Yes, sir.
Didn't we get that yesterday out of the book of James? Yes. She had to have corresponding action. Think about this. How easy this would have been. I'm skin and bones. I'm bleeding now. I can't get out there. And it said she was afraid. She knew the Levitical law. She knows she shouldn't. It's against the law for her to mingle with people with an issue of blood. And she's saying, "I'm bleeding now." Look at it. The fountain of her blood was dried up. She was bleeding then until she touched that garment. What if she'd have done that and said, "I just can't do it. I just can't do it." And besides that, the leader of the synagogue is right there with Jesus, and he knows me. No, thank God the devil wasn't able to talk her out of it. Hallelujah. She drug her little skinny, dried up, bleeding self out into that street, crawled up there behind him, and touched that garment. Oh, the touch of faith. Can you see that the healing power, the healing anointing of Jesus, He is the healer today, you understand that? It's a tangible force. Now, faith, you won't feel faith. Your faith is spiritual force. Your faith is growing right now. You do not have to say, come on, faith. No more than you have to say before you sit down to a really good looking meal. You don't have to say, okay, stomach, now get ready now. No. I mean, the juices are already flowing. That's because you're created like that. These are what you call, what do you call it? Involuntary action. Amen. From the internal organs of your body. Well, I'm going to be a little crude here, but I need to for you to get the concept. Your spirit man has spiritual innards, spiritual guts. Now, that to give you something to compare with, you feed on God's Word. The Word not mixed with faith, the book of Hebrews said, was what caused failure in the wilderness. The Word was preached unto them the same as unto us, but it wasn't mixed with faith, and it got them all killed. All of them over 20 years old. So you feed on it. And I need to remind you of this. I have to remind myself of this. I'm an audio person, and I really don't like to read. Now, when it comes to the Bible, that's a different thing. But I don't like to read much. I want to listen to it. Yeah, and that's, and I've found over the years that most musicians are like that, where we're sound oriented. Where's Patrick?
Patrick.
Are you like that, Patrick? You're more audio than you are, you know, reader. I just suppose that's the way people like you and me that are musically oriented. We're like that because it means everything what we hear. I mean, that's where we get it. The audio is what we do. And it's the way we think. So I really have to, come on, man, get out here and read. But now here's where, let me show you this. Memorizing is good. Don't misunderstand me. Say memorizing.
Memorizing.
The scriptures.
Is wonderful.
But quoting them won't feed you.
Hello.
When's the last time you had a potato?
Yesterday.
You remember what it tastes like? Pretty good stuff.
It is good. That's right.
Take a bite of it right now. You can't. The memory of it will not feed you. You have to get it into the system. You get the Word of God. And do you remember? You remember the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs 20, 21, 22? Let them not, these words depart from your eyes. You have to get it in the system. Anyway, faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Now, let me get back in here. She heard. She said. She came. and touched. Number four, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. So now we know a lot about this woman. We know a lot more about her than you can get by just reading about her. How did we get this? Meditating in it. Living with it. Meditating in it. What did God tell Joshua? You meditate in my word day and night, and you will observe, or you'll see. You'll see how to do. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but you'll see how to act on it. Well, you think about Joshua now. The last thing he saw over there was a bunch of people that was too big to mess with. That's the last image he had in his mind. But God was saying to him, you keep your mind on me. I'm the giant here, you understand? You keep your mind on me. You keep your mind on me, not that cancer. You keep your mind on me, not that debt that's so big you can't see any way to handle it. You keep your mind on me. Let me give just a quick rundown from what we did on Monday. Fundamentals of faith, of course, Mark 11, 22 through 25. You believe it. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, and so forth. You believe it and you say it. You believe the word and you say the word. The word must be the foundation of it. Then you act on your faith. Corresponding action. We read that from James 1:22 and 2:14. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Be a doer. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let's go back over there. There's something I want to touch before we leave that. In that first chapter, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he looks at himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, or immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, what in the world is that talking about? How many of you looked in a mirror today at least once? Boy, that's not very many people. How many of you looked in a mirror today? Of course, everybody in here. Anybody that
would like to, could you tell me the exact length of your nose? Inches or centimeters, either one. Be fine.
Of course not. Why? You looked at your face every day, and you don't know how long your nose is. You know why? You never decided to find out. You can read the Bible every day all of your life and never get any faith out of it. There are Bible scholars that are not born again. I remember I hadn't been born again but just a few days, and I was scripturally illiterate, but I was with a close friend of mine, and he was visiting with another man. I'm just there for the ride, you know. And he said, is so-and-so still teaching in the seminary of a certain university? Oh, yeah, yeah. And he said, you know he's an atheist, don't you? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. But he knows the Bible.
I have hit on the answer. That's the, how dumb can you get? That's it. He knows the Bible. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But he reads it, studies it. But he's never decided to act on it. You don't believe a word of it. In fact, I don't know him, don't know, but in most cases like that, people that spend a lot of time studying the Bible like that, they study it to find out what's wrong with it instead of finding out what's right with it. Huh? And you found that, Greg, in your studies over the years? Yeah. But what James is saying, and I'll prove it to you right here. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But now look at verse 25. Oh, it'll thrill you. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. This book is truth. It is truth. I said it is truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And the truth is a man, Jesus. The truth is the man, Jesus.
Yes.
And you can believe him. And spend time meditating on him and on what he said. Hallelujah. I've been reading this book all these years, and just brand new stuff. Just would you like to really have a cool thing? John 6. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but well, it does too. John 6. I read this for 50 years, 51 years. John chapter 6. And I didn't get it until about a year ago. John chapter 6. Now remember, Jesus, in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, you can find out where it declares that Jesus moved his headquarters to Capernaum. So just the coolest kind of Bible study is just get your concordance. Forget Google. Get your concordance and look up the word Capernaum. That's Jesus' headquarters. He had a home there. Say, Jesus lived in Capernaum.
Jesus lived in Capernaum.
Say, Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Home.
Home.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Now, they had just spent a whole long, long day feeding thousands and ministering to thousands of people. Anyway. 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when the evening is now come, his disciples went down into the sea. They entered into a ship and went over the sea toward home. They're headed home. And it was now dark. Jesus was not come to them. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So then they had rowed about 25 furlongs, about 3 miles. They are went down. They have this thing, man. You study that chapter. They had been at it all day long, feeding thousands of people. This is hard work, man. And it's in the middle of the night, and they rowed 3 miles. When they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." When they willingly received him into the ship, immediately the ship was at the land. It was home. I read that for over 50 years and didn't see it. And I'm just reading one day. What? And the word of the Lord came to me. I've never heard the audible voice of the Lord, but this was close. I'm open though, Lord, you understand? He said, "Kenna, I wanted to get that thing home and sleep in my own bed. But more important, these men were tired. They were hurting. Their families were waiting on them. It's the middle of the night." So they just got home. That thing just docked right where it belonged. It's time to say hallelujah in the household.
Yes.
Hey, I'm telling you, the New Testament is pregnant with things like that. That meditation will bring out and feed your faith. You think your faith won't jump a leap when it sees something like that? You say, "Oh yeah." What is that? Revealed knowledge. Not sense knowledge. Sense knowledge is the knowledge you've gained through your five physical senses. You've been getting that since the day you were born. But revealed knowledge. Knowledge that comes right straight from the Holy Spirit into your spirit. And it happened the day you might have gotten born again when you were a child and loved Jesus, but there came a time where the revelation of who he is came. He's not just the one your mama introduced you to. But like me, there in North Little Rock. Now my mother taught me about Jesus all my life. But oh, first week of November 1962, Gloria and I had been married 6 months. She'd gotten saved 2 weeks before, and I didn't know it. She didn't know it. She's born. She was raised in a church that didn't, they didn't believe much. But anyway, they, and now don't misunderstand me. These are sweet and wonderful and lovely people. But they had no revelation of the new birth. And anyway, she just didn't know what the term saved or new birth or anything. But she read an inscription in front of a Bible that my mother had sent me for my birthday. And sitting there, she just said, "Jesus, take my life and do something with it." Well, he did. Well, she starts praying for me, of course, and everything. I mean, it changed her life. It just things were just changing in her. And I was out hunting a job, and I'd messed the other one up. And anyway, I got a new job and a brand new furnished apartment. And the house we were living in, we had no furniture. It was zero. I'm not going into all of that. I don't even want to remember that. But anyway, because it's all my fault. But anyway, I came in. I've flown that first trip. A man by the name of Weir. He worked for Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company. And I had flown him to Shreveport and back. Came in that night, brand new little apartment, furnished. Nobody'd ever lived in it before. It's happening. It's happening, Bubba. we're being blessed. We don't know it, but we are. All of a sudden, I had gone into the bedroom to change clothes. Gloria was fixing supper. And I I had changed clothes, took my suit off and changed clothes. And I had put one shoe on, and I just walked in there in the kitchen, sat down there next to the table, and to put that other shoe on. All of a sudden, that room filled up. Oh, my. And I'd heard about Jesus all of my life. But all of a sudden, oh, my. And I heard him on the inside of me. Kenneth, if you don't get straightened out with me, son, you're going to a devil hell, boy. Oh, he didn't say, boy, you're going to a devil's hell. And I said, I know it. See, I knew that. I sensed it. Because my parents raised me right. I said, what do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher when I was 12. Her name was Taggart. We called her Old Lady Taggart. She was old. She called herself Old Lady Taggart. I heard her, boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I thought, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time, but I just said, Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, he did. And the of course, I didn't realize I was in really bad spiritual condition. I was in horrible spiritual condition when I met Gloria. Meeting her changed it instantly. Because I was, well, I won't go into all that. But it's like if you were you're born and raised, lived in a boiler room all of your life. Somebody shut the boiler down. The quiet would be the loudest thing you ever heard. That's the way it seemed to me on the inside. All of a sudden, I knew him. I didn't know about him anymore. I knew him. I knew him. I said, Gloria. She walked over there. She walked over there. And Gloria, what would you think about if I were to maybe give my testimony about Jesus? She said she didn't know what a testimony was. Her church didn't testify. But I said, you know, about Jesus, about the Lord. She said, hallelujah. She knew that. Hallelujah. We grabbed one another. Whew. Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. What happened? I went from knowing about him to knowing him. Yes. I know him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I'm talking about word faith versus sense knowledge faith. And I'm introducing this, and we'll continue with it tomorrow. But think about this: human, natural human faith, or Since knowledge, faith. From the day you were born, your five physical senses began to gather information. You started building that database. Now, that database has grown all of your life. And it wasn't all that long as you grew, there were certain things you began to realize that things you need to believe when you see them, and things to have faith. There's certain things you believe. You weren't thinking about having faith. It's the natural process of growth. You had to learn from somebody to believe what you see when a car's coming down the street. Get out of the road, stupid. You got to believe that. Well, I don't believe that's a car. Well, no. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, you came up learning to have faith in certain things, sense, knowledge, faith. You learned to certain things about, well, take for instance, the simple way is the chair that you sat in. You didn't think about sitting down in that chair. You knew that chair would hold you up. Now, if you weighed, say you weighed over 300 pounds, 400 pounds, you might think about it twice. I wonder if this thing's going to hold me up. Can you see the function? Sense, knowledge, faith. Certain things you believe. Well, then you get to the place, if you can't see it, you don't believe it. Seeing is believing. That's perfectly good in the natural sense knowledge world. But it won't work in the faith world. No. Now, let's take the schoolroom. Here is a teacher that's limited. Here is a student that's limited. Teaching knowledge from a textbook that's limited. We found that out now. I mean, come on. There were things that were absolutely foundational true. And now we found out, no, they're not. You know, it just wasn't true, but just because you didn't have enough knowledge about it. But revelation knowledge is the born again spirit being having revelation from the Holy Spirit himself, from the Word of God. And suddenly it dawns on you. What does that mean? The light came up. The entrance of his word bringeth light. I've done it. You've done it. Suddenly you just see something. And you say, did you see that? What? I didn't see anything. So one person can hear exactly the same thing you did, but all of a sudden it clicked revelation in your spirit. I have found that if I go into a service, if I'm listening to a CD, if I'm watching a DVD, if whatever I'm doing, I've got my heart tuned in the name of Jesus, I fully expect, to hear and receive it. The fundamentals of faith. We started Monday with Mark 11, 22 through 25. Let's look at that and we'll refresh ourselves for a moment. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever. So this is a spiritual law, and it works for whosoever will get in touch with those laws. You know, you don't have to be born again to cause these laws to work. I read an article about a guy. He didn't know. It was obvious from what he said, didn't know God. But he decided he was not going to have the flu anymore. And he just looked at himself in the mirror every day, and he said, I'm not going to have the flu anymore. And he just kept doing it, and he just kept doing it. And he said, it's been years since he'd had the flu. He didn't have to be born again to do that. It's spiritual law. Whosoever shall say. That's the reason in some of the mind science religions, which are not, the faith is not of the mind. It's of the spirit. Amen. Somebody that's not born again doesn't have faith in their spirit. They have natural human faith, sense knowledge faith. But by continually making the same affirmation or the same confession, making it over and over and over and over, you have what you say. You can school yourself into believing something. You know, you can believe a lie long enough you believe it's the truth. But now you step over in the spirit, you step over into the kingdom of God. Because when you were born again, glory to God, we were raised up together and made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. So we're there. We're there. Faith is in us. So the basic fundamentals of faith, the ABCs of faith, you remember we talked about this now on Monday, that the fundamentals, what are you watching when you're watching the World Series? You're watching masters of the fundamentals. The game is the same. It starts out in the living room pitching a little softy ball to your little boy. And you keep pitching it to him, and he finally catches it. That's fundamental. And after a while, he masters it. I remember my uncle and my cousin Larry was just little guy. And, he loved baseball. Oh, man. And this was back before you had the little foosballs and stuff like that. And so they'd play in the living room. And he's pitching it across there to him, you know. And Larry's just a little bitty guy. But he just kept practicing and just kept practicing. He's getting good. And he is in the living room. And one day, he got a hold of one, man. Pow! It went plumb through the dining room and through the window. And he said, well, yeah, this is the last of the living room game. I mean, hey, he mastered the fundamentals a little sooner than his daddy thought he was. Practice. There are fundamentals of faith. Fundamentals of healing. They're fundamental laws of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And you practice those. You meditate those fundamentals. Then we talked about believe it, the word, say it, the word. Then we talked about acting on your faith, acting on the word of God from James 1, 22 and 2, 14, 17, with corresponding action to what you believe. I remember way back yonder, we had just gotten started, and I'm believing God for an airplane, and I knew the airplane, I knew the one, and so what do? Gloria and I had stood on the word. We knew these things. And we were just getting started, but brother, we were strong in it, and we were walking in it. She and I agreed on it. We knew, I knew the airplane. And at that time, the airport out here south of town, which is Spinks Airport now. Back there then, it was a very small airport, not the nice big airport that it is now. And this airplane belonged to Mr. Spinks, and I had flown it, and it was this great airplane, and I knew it was mine. And so, believe God. What did I do? I don't have an airplane. What's my corresponding action? I bought me a flight case. And I ordered, thank you very much, the instrument charts. I had the flight case. I had the IFR charts for the entire United States. I'm ready. All I need is an airplane. Well, that's my corresponding action. And it was amazing. In fact, I had $5,000. Man. But this airplane was going to cost me $9,000. And I had $5,000. Well, I went out to see Mr. Spinks. I walked in there, and of course he knew me. And I said, now, and I reminded him of the tail number of that airplane. And a little 1959 Cessna Skylane. And Kelly said to my dad one time, said, "Granddad, let's go fly Daddy's airplane." Kelly's a little bitty girl. He said, "Kelly, I can't fly that airplane." "Oh, yeah, it's easy," she said. "The instructions are right there in the glove compartment." She's talking about the checklist, you know. She'd seen me get the instructions. He said, "Yeah, that's what it'd be, too, the instructions if I tried to fly that thing." So I went out there and I said, "Mr. Spinks," I said, "Yeah, good, Kenneth. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we do that. Big deal." And so he sat down and he starts filling out. I said, "Now, I've got $5,000. He said, "That's good." He said, "Well, just carry the rest of it." I said, "No, sir. I don't borrow money." "You what?" I said, "I don't borrow money." "Well, what do you want to do?" I said, "I want you to hold my $5,000 and the Lord will get me the rest of it. You just hold the airplane and hold my money." Well, he called his secretary in there and he said, "Write this down." He said, "He don't borrow money." But see, I acted. That's the reason I had that $5,000. Because I bought that flight case and those instrument charts before I had a dime. And things had started happening and people were handing money to me and all just all kinds of miraculous, just cute things were happening. So I left there and I drove home. Gloria said, "Kenneth, Olin and Mary Creech want you to call them." That's Carolyn Savelle's mom and dad. "And want you to call them." I said, "Okay." So I called Olin in Shreveport. And he said, "Kenneth, Mary and I were praying for you this morning. And We felt like we needed to send you some money for an airplane. You're believing God for an airplane." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, we mailed it this morning." Now, this is another man. If Olin Creech told me he mailed me $1 million, I'd go write me a check, brother. Yeah. He's one of those kind of men. I mean, that's whoa. And at that time, he was on our board of directors. I said, "How much is it, Olin?" It was exactly the amount I needed to pay for the rest of it.
Hallelujah.
So,
amen.
I hadn't been, I hadn't been gone from that airport. I mean, it wasn't but 10, 12 minutes from my house. We lived out there on the south end of town back then. I got in the car and drove right back over there to Mr. Spinks. I said, I got my money. He said, you did not. I said, yes, I did. Oh, when I walked out of his office before, now see, I'm saying it. He don't know what I'm doing, but I'm saying it. I believe it in my heart, and I'm saying it with my mouth. That's fundamental to faith, right? So I turned around. I said, Mr. Spinks, I looked right at him. I said, God will get me that money. Yeah, I know it. I heard you. That's why I just wanted you to know. Yeah, I know. Here I am 30 minutes or so later in his office. I got to, you did not. I said, I did. Boy, he got happy. And I told him, I said, as soon as the money hits the bank, I'll write you a check for it. No problem. So here it is a few days later. I'm in the main fuel office, and they're gassing up my airplane. And I'm sitting over there. I'm just sitting there, you know, and waiting to pay the bill. They're out there fueling it. And he walks in the door with this other guy, and he hollered. Of course, he's really tickled over this thing. He said, you see that guy right over there? And the guy said, yeah. He said, that guy's got money coming into his place in wheelbarrow loads. I thought, the Lord said, agree with him. I said, yes, sir. How did that start? Corresponding action. I believed it in my heart. Gloria and I had sowed the seed for this thing. I mean, we sowed and sowed and sowed. It starts. You believe it, but hey, my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, said this to me, marked my life forever. He said, don't ever attempt to do anything that God has told you to do without first sowing the seed. Seed, time,
harvest.
Well, Brother Copeland, I just don't see it. I don't see how you could do this. This is one of our partners, Jasmine Mays. Now, I won't go into all of you. Front page, July, Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. She's on the cover. She used up all her vacation time going from one KCM meeting to another, first to a meeting in Anaheim, then to Southwest Believers Convention, and then Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. On the flight to the Anaheim meeting, Jasmine sat next to the window with her left arm on the armrest. Without warning, a woman sitting behind her took off her shoes and shoved her bare feet into Jasmine's armrest. Jasmine stared wide-eyed at the feet that had encroached in her personal space. Knowing that she wanted to stay in her love walk and not cause strife, Jasmine didn't confront the woman. Instead, she laughed at the humor in the situation. Wanting to share the moment with a few of her friends, Jasmine took out her phone and filmed a short video of her face and the foot, posted the video on Facebook. Friends immediately wanted to share the video and ask if she would make it public. Between meetings, Jasmine checked her phone and was stunned to see the video had been viewed 50,000 times, then 60,000 times. By the time she got back to the office on Monday, it had been viewed 500,000 times. By the end of the day, it had gone viral. Within the week, Jasmine got a call from a media company, the global leader in viral video licensing, offering to buy the rights to license the video. They offered me a chunk of money up front to license it and actively solicited to media companies, Jasmine explains. Then they pay me every time it's used. So far, it's been viewed on Facebook 27 million times. It's been viewed on YouTube 300,000 times. It was also posted on Instagram. In addition, the video was shown on the Inside Edition television show, featured on the CBS The Talk, Julie Chen, and a German TV network flew to Las Vegas to interview Jasmine about the video. I'm still getting money from that video. So let's all watch Jasmine's video and make her some money. This is a woman of faith, raised in, her mother raised her in believers' conventions. I mean, come on. I had the Lord say to me one time, I have a million ways to make you a billionaire, and you can't think of three. I couldn't. Well, let's see. Somebody could give it to me. Well, maybe if I had a hit record. No, there ain't no way a hit record gonna do it. Yeah. They could give it to me. Who would ever have thought? Now, I've seen the picture of that. There's that little foot with the little red toenails. All she did, she looked like this. That's all it was doing. I'm telling you, it hurts me. The people that don't believe in the prosperity of God. Now, let me give you the so sad opposite to that. Here's a man. Says he's a Christian man, and I believe him. He owns a shoe company. Now, I wasn't the one dealing with him, so I think it's a shoe business, a store. It's not a manufacturing. But he handles high-end shoes. He handles, the person that is a friend of mine was buying some alligator shoes. Pastor of a church. If I called his name, everybody in the room would know who I'm talking about. But because of the situation, I don't want to do that. And his wife had ordered shoes from this company several times. She had ordered me some shoes from the same company. So then there was another pair of shoes that he really liked. So of course she went back to the source because it's really nice stuff. And so he called her and he said, no, I can't sell you those shoes. Why? What is it? Something? No, you're one of those prosperity preachers and I'm not going to do that. No. Now see, he thinks that's heresy. He thinks that to preach and teach prosperity, what's a preacher doing with a pair of alligator shoes? I'm not going to sell them to you. Now that's a miserable man. And he may not even know, but that misery is in there. That is so. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. The curse is threefold: spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. But through his death, we became rich. Let's praise him. Right now, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Jeremy will be back in just a moment.
If your life doesn't appear to measure up to what you've dreamed, this moment is not an accident. Neither is your life. You can take matters into your own hands and work with God to chart a desired course as you navigate through life. Faith is not exclusive to that super Christian next door. Faith is basic and will produce practical results. Like training turns an athlete into a pro, you can develop your faith to knock the ball right out of the park every time. This 15-message teaching series, The Fundamentals of Faith, derived from over 50 years of experience, will cause you to finally be effective in your own life. In this series, Kenneth Copeland will break down the workings of faith and prayer, giving you practical handles to master. You will go from just knowing about it to mastering faith so that life's setbacks don't master you. Allow Kenneth Copeland to personally mentor you through these groundbreaking lessons. It's your time to hit a home run.
Get back to the basics of faith. Practice the fundamentals and get God's results. Request your free 15-message series by Kenneth Copeland called The Fundamentals of Faith. Available on MP3, DVD, or digital download. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Today on the broadcast, my grandfather, Brother Copeland, talked about his personal journey from knowing about Jesus to actually knowing Jesus as the Lord of his life. And of course, it changed the course of his entire life, and it will do the same thing in you. It's doing the same thing in me. Every single one of us have got to go on that journey because we've heard about him, but it's a different thing to know him. And I know many of you watching this broadcast right now, you're shouting amen. You know Jesus. He's your Lord. You're loving him, serving him, and living in his love every day. And that's wonderful. But I don't want to take for granted that there might be somebody watching this right now, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You might not even know how this broadcast came in front of you. It just somehow did, and here you are. Well, Jesus did that. Jesus is drawing you. Jesus is calling you. And if you've never made him the Lord of your life, you do it today. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Just say it out loud. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Make me clean. Jesus, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, you are the Lord of my life. You lived for me. You died for me. You rose again for me, and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I know it's a simple prayer, but if you prayed it, the Bible says you're born again. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And if you prayed that today, then you need to know two things. All of heaven rejoices over you coming home. And number two, all of KCM rejoices over you coming home, and we want to hear about it. Call us, write us, let us know that the Lord is doing something in your life. And if you prayed that prayer today, we've got something we want to give you, and this is totally free. It's a book by my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, called He Did It All For You. And then along with that is two little brochures. They're going to help you find out more about the Bible, how to read your Bible, how to study your Bible, and this is free. All you have to do is let us know you want it. Go to kcm.org, and we'll get this out to you right away, and we celebrate with you. We rejoice with you. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Thanks so much for watching the broadcast today. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. Until then, remember this, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Learn who you are in Christ and how to begin your new life in victory. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org/salvation. Jesus did it all for you. Receive his love and experience the good life God has for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org/salvation. Continue to grow in God's Word with this week's product offer. Build your faith with these Word-based teaching materials. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year.
Every available voice. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has received the Lord's directive to spread the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around through every avenue possible. In 1973, KCM started publishing The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since the beginning, the magazine has been a shareable resource with word-based articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and special guest teachers. Through the decades, the magazine has helped millions worldwide build their faith and encourage their daily walk with God. The Good News Gazette in the center of each magazine is where you'll find inspiring testimonies from partners all over the world.
You have a reassurance that what he did for one, he'll do for the other, and he's no respecter of persons, and he can do it for you too.
Today, almost 390,000 physical copies of the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed each month to 198 countries and territories on four continents in six languages. In addition, the magazine can be read online at kcm.org and shared with your family and friends from your computer or mobile device, all with a click, sending the word to more people in more places faster than before. Partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and receive your free magazine.
Study notes from the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast are available free. Download them at kcm.org/notes. To get the whole set of study notes, log in, select the broadcast week, and then click download. Receive the study notes onto your desktop, print them to use for your Bible study, or even to follow along with the speaker on the broadcast. Empower your life with the Word of God at your fingertips. Download your free study notes today.
Community to me is about never being alone, that you always have people around you, that you're doing the same thing, going in the right direction together, and you're always developing and going to a higher level with people. And so it never feels like you have to do it on your own, but you're doing it as a team.
Community is letting your guard down and just being you.
Community is partnership.
Community is all about ministry.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Doing life together.
It's a place to get together with family.
Community is unity and trust.
Community is a group of people you can rely on.